This is the Upreneur FM podcast. We bring you the strategies and resources you need to build, market, and monetize a profitable, future-proof business around your knowledge and expertise. And now, here's your host, international business mentor and best-selling author, Chris Ducker.
Yes, hello and welcome to the show. Before we get started, if you're serious about making the next 90 days truly count in the growth of your business, I'd like to invite you to our next quarterly deep dive planning session, which is coming up very soon. It's your chance to work on your business uninterrupted for a few hours alongside myself, some special guests, and your fellow entrepreneurs. So for more info and to grab one of the limited spots that we've got available, visit upreneur.com/deep dive. Right, let's get into the show. So in this episode of the Upreneur podcast, I sit down with BBC One presenter and BAFTA nominee Dilly Carter to talk all about her personal brand business journey and how by setting up Declutter Dollies, which is her professional organizing company, it has catapulted her personal brand to new heights. We talk about what being on TV has meant for that personal brand, as well as her best-selling books, what she's built up in terms of her personal brand offers, her coaching, her live events, and a host of other stuff as well. You're going to love this conversation with a true leader in her world. Is Dilly.
Upreneur FM, your number one personal brand business podcast.
So Dilly, welcome to the Upreneur podcast. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
I'm really excited about this one because, you know, we just met just very recently. What was it? The end of last year, something along those lines.
Yeah.
And we've got to know each other a little bit, not ridiculously well, but a little bit. And you have just got so much going on. You are probably, in terms of like, you know, like overall media recognizable, you're probably one of the most settled personal brands that I've come across in the last few years here in the UK. But with that being said, to your own admission as well, there's a lot of gaps in terms of where things could be for you. So I'm pumped to kind of like get into that, talk about your journey and all that good stuff as well. And if I can help along the way, then that's exactly what I will do as well. But for those who have no idea what I'm talking about and why is Chris gushing over this gal here a little bit, like, what is it you do and why should everybody in the UK have heard your name at least once or twice?
Yes. Well, why should they have heard my name? Because I think I am the UK's leading professional organizer. I think if you are looking to move house, organize your house, want anything to do with terms of organization, then I am the person. I am the go-to. I like to think I am the leader in my field. And that's taken me a long time to even say that, actually. Mm-hmm. But I do believe I'm the leader in this field for this profession in this country. I don't think there's anyone doing what I'm doing at the level I'm doing it at the capacity that I'm doing it, certainly not with the knowledge that I bring to this. I have been doing it longer than anyone else in mm-hmm. this country. Mm-hmm. I think there might be one other that started it, maybe not even before me, but yeah, I think she was sort of doing it a little bit. But I feel like even if I haven't been doing this the longest, I'm shouting the loudest about it.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, you're on TV, you've got best-selling books, you're in the media all the time. You know, you've battled cancer and kicked its ass, and there's a lot about you. Like, you've had a lot going on. What do you feel has been kind of like the biggest, and when I say the biggest, I mean, let me rephrase that, maybe the most impactful moment that you've built up over the course of your career in terms of where you're sitting now?
I think actually the most impactful thing was that my business can run without me. And that was when I was ill. And right. I never realized that before until now. And I think that was a really pivotal, powerful moment for me that actually all this work has paid off, because now I'm at a point where I can outsource everything. I can rely on other people and I can trust other people. And I can also earn money without physically doing, which I've killed myself for all this time thinking that I couldn't. But actually all the steps that I've taken to where I am now were building that point. building that moment. So it took a long time to get there, but actually that was on my turning point for me that I need to do more of that. I need to do more of earning money without having to physically do things.
Yep, I'm with you 100%. And I mean, like, when we look at, say, let's say, for example, we look at your books, I think you've got two out and another one coming, or did the third one come out already?
No, so I've got two books that I've written, and then there was one that's actually part of the show as well. So, you know, which I've spoken on. And yeah, obviously there are more coming. Let's hope, fingers crossed. Yeah.
So like when we look at, say, those two books you've done on yourself, and then one obviously with Sort Your Life Out with the show, like, do you feel that the combination of the television and the books is really at the very core of what you've done from a personal brand standpoint? I mean, clearly all those things have helped you with the business side of things, but if we remove Declutter Dollies as the business and it's just you that we're talking about, is the telly, as we would say here in the UK for all our US listeners, is the telly and the books really at the very core of the personal brand journey thus far?
I think the TV is the one single most important thing that's catapulted me into another stratosphere. And I think that was the most important thing. I don't think the books were. I think it was TV because, you know, TV is the hugest platform, isn't it, for all of us? The fact that I'm on the biggest channel in this country at prime time every week for 7 weeks, you know, twice a year, once a year, that is absolutely, you know, monumental for anybody. You cannot pay for that type of advertising. I think, you know, without wanting to advertise myself, I didn't realize how big that platform would be and how impactful it would be on my business. I knew it would affect my private business, but I didn't realize how much it would affect my private business. So, you know, the thing with the TV is it puts you on a platform that people recognize you, they trust you, they believe in you. You know, there's no space to lie, is there, on TV? There's no space to really not be who you say you are, especially if you're on the BBC. It's a very respected channel. It's the most respected channel. It's taxpayers' money. It's not, you know, what do I want to say? I don't want to say a flippant channel. They're all very relevant, but, you know, it's a very respected channel.
Yeah, so, yeah, totally. And I mean, let's face it, like, it's a reality TV show, ultimately. It's not
actual entertainment.
Scripted, per se.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's not scripted. So what you see is what you get from the outset.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we don't like to call it reality, Chris. It is not reality TV. It is factual entertainment.
This is true, actually. Yeah. Somebody else pulled me up on that. This is the second time that I've been pulled up on this. I don't think I'm going to make this mistake again. So what was it? Phil Spencer from Location. It? When I met him for the first time, I said, oh, you know, Mr. Reality TV or something to that effect. We said, whoa, 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 hold on. Let's have a talk about this kind of thing. So, yeah, yes. I've been pulled up twice now. It won't happen again, Your Honor, I promise.
We are very, you know, we are experts in our field. Yeah. Three of us that come on the show are experts in our field, brought together with a celebrity personality who also is very good at her craft, you know. Mm. So everyone has been brought together because we have a skill set that create a team that work together well. So that's, you know, who we are in a nutshell. You know, we've all got our own skills. And I certainly am an expert in my field, which is why I was brought onto the show. So the fact that now people can watch a show and think, God, you know, oh, I like her. And they might Google your name. And then they're like, oh, she does this privately. Brilliant. There we go.
Yeah.
So while I realized this power that the TV has, this is where I'm like, well, right, I need to really make sure that I am doing exactly what I say I can do on the tin, but I am also creating other things, because we all know TV is very short-lived. You know, it can be here 1 minute, gone the next. And, you know, so I have to make sure that, you know, and actually, when I say I have to make sure, not everyone does. Some people are very happy with just being on TV and their life is made. I've been on TV. Doesn't matter if you've been on it for 5 minutes or you've been on it for 5 years or five series. Some people are very happy with that as being, I've achieved my life's goal. Yes. Whereas me, yes. I'm like, this is just a stepping stone for me.
Right.
This is great. You know, and I'm going to take this opportunity and run with it and do as much as I can while I've got this platform to elevate my private business and elevate me as a person to make sure that I'm achieving as much as I want to achieve in a business sense, because I've always been entrepreneurial. I've always had that I only want to work for myself type of spirit. I never wanted to really check in with anyone else but the CEO.
Sure.
I always wanted to work for the most important person in the company. Well, now, whether that was in their home or whether it was in their business, I knew that I like to just report to one person.
Yeah.
I want to be someone's left-hand person, right-hand man, whatever it is. I wanted to be the go-to, the confident. And when I started back in my 20s, that was always in the back of my head, and that's what I wanted to achieve. And I achieved that. And, you know, I worked for CEOs and, you know, people that own their own business in their own houses. And I didn't only help with their admin, but I helped organize their house. And I think back then, lots of people, and I think even to this day, I notice this a lot, people underestimate the value of the people that work in houses. Because especially when you're a PA to someone that works in someone's house, or you are the housekeeper, or you are the cleaner, or you are anyone in someone's house of that level, like house staff, as you would call it, household staff. When you're at that level in the business that I'm at, you normally have that type of, you know, environment. Not everyone does, but I think it's really underrated, because what we have to remember is the people that work in our houses are our most trusted people, aren't they?
Yeah,
they're the people who we go to for everything. They're the people that we ask their opinion about everything. So before you go and look for a trade, you might ask your PA, you might ask your housekeeper, who do you know? Who do you like? Who do you think? And if they don't like them, then you're not going to use them, because that person who's working in your house is your most trusted person, because they're seeing your innermost secrets in your house. They're seeing the way that you function. They're seeing your relationships. They're seeing inside your knickers drawer and your pants drawer, all of those things. So actually, these people are really highly respected and valued. So I was always like, I want to make sure that I get on with absolutely everybody that I work with. I want to be that person inside someone's house in their inner circle. So how do I create that? How do I make sure that I am their go-to for everything? And so that's what I built myself on. I always knew that I was great with people, great working with people. And I knew that actually my work ethic was, you know, really good, and that I would work extra hours, work longer than 9 to 5. I'd be the one that would do anything that anyone else wouldn't in terms of working. So that's why I've built a business and a team that are absolutely like me. You know, when everyone says, I'd like you to come, but I'm like, I will come, of course, but I will, can also send my team who are a duplicate of me. And I have 100% that they are going to be exactly, you know, really happy with that. Of course, when you book me, it's a different service, because it's me and I've got different experience and I've got different knowledge and I've got different life experience. And in my conversation might be completely different to some of those on my team, but the work ethic, the way that they do the job is, you know, very much me.
Yeah, I'm with you. So like in terms of the expertise that you bring to the table then with the people that you work with, when did you start really actively marketing that expertise, and how did you start marketing it?
Well, actually, you know, when I first started my business, I had £1,000 in the bank, and that was all I had. It was my last £1,000. And I was like, I really want to start this business. I know I'm going to be really good at this. I know this is my calling. And I was actually about to write a CV to 10 UK and Quintessentially, who are the leading concierge companies in this country.
Yeah, and I know of them. Yeah,
as I was doing that, I thought, no, Dilly, believe in yourself. You can do it. You don't need to go and work for another company. You can create this yourself. So I spent that £1,000, thought about the name and thought, right, I'm going to invest in myself. I'm going to use that money and start my business. And therefore, this company called Perfect Me was created. And the idea was, perfect me will perfect you. And that is what my brand was. And I basically created this lovely, really expensive hand-tied brochure, which was in this lovely thick black card. And it was tied with a pink ribbon. And every layer was sort of had, you know, it cut short. So the first layer you could see was organize me, style me. There were all these different levels. And the last one was perfect me. So that was like the full package. So it was like a gold, silver, platinum package. And the first one was just basic organization. Then the next one was organization plus some styling. The next one was the whole package, which was perfect me. So I created these amazing brochures, had someone do all the artwork. It looked amazing. And I spent every Sunday for about 6 months going to all the wealthiest roads on the Wentworth estate in Virginia Water. And every Sunday I would go around and put my brochures through these doors, hand tied, hand delivered, knock on the door. If they didn't answer, I'd put it through the letterbox. If I couldn't get through the gates, I'd leave it somewhere. And the reason I did that on a Sunday was because there's no housekeepers on a Sunday. Everyone has to look at their own mail. Everyone has to go to their own mailbox.
That's a good point.
Because sometimes housekeepers will filter through the mail and chuck things that they think are, you know, junk mail. And anyway, I did
that. Or competitive, for that matter, right?
But also I wanted to make sure that as well as doing that, I was obviously networking around that local area. So people were hearing from me here, there and everywhere. So I used to work part-time in this nail bar. So I would tell all my wealthy clients that used to come in that this is what I was doing. And eventually one of them said to me, you should come, you know, meet this woman. And the woman said to me, oh, I've seen that brochure come through my door. So she'd seen the brochure, she'd heard my name somewhere else, and suddenly she's tying all the dots together and I got a meeting. And then that was it. That was my first client. And off the back of that first client, I then got another and another and another.
Right.
And then it evolved. And then I met my husband and I decided to give it all up and go meet him, go traveling. And then when I came back in from traveling and meeting him, I decided that I still wanted to do this. And that's when I really got on Instagram and started building my business. And that wasn't, my God, 2012, I think. So that's when I think I came on Instagram, about 2012, 2013.
Okay.
It must have been.
Is that still your number one platform now in terms of creating content?
Yeah, my number one platform is Instagram. But I think actually it might have even been much later than that. It might have been 2015, 2016 that I actually came on Instagram, because I think I was sort of in the background doing stuff. And then it wasn't until Declutter Dollies was born. I think that might have been a lot later than that.
So when did the TV show come about, and how did that get presented to you?
So that was in lockdown. So that was 2020, just before 2020 lockdown, or during it. Basically, I'd started building my platform. I'd had my platform was, you know, doing okay. I think I had about 20,000, 30,000 followers at the time, maybe 40,000. And I got this message on Instagram to say, oh, we're doing a TV show. Would you share our flyer? We're looking for families that need decluttering. And, you know, the cynic in me was a bit like, oh, you know, I wonder what organizer they've got on this show.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder who it is, not really interested, but let me do the right thing and share this flyer. You know, there's lots of families that I know would need help. So let's just be the better person.
Sure.
So I shared the flyer. And then 6 weeks later, I get a message from this same girl going, you know, we've been watching your Instagram account and actually we really like the way you come across and we would love for you to be interviewed because we still haven't found our organizer for the show. And I was like, we've got nothing to lose. Why not? It was locked down. So I basically then decided, right, okay, I had the interview, had one interview, had two, had three, had four, had five. And I think it was about the fifth interview that they said, look, we really love you. We think you're great. And yeah, we think you'd be a perfect fit for the show. Would you like to join? So that was it. And I was like, and they said, it's for the BBC. It's with Stacey Solomon. It's with this guy. It's with this guy. And it was like, oh my God. Okay.
And what have I walked into here, right?
Well, I mean, they never told me it was for the BBC, never told me it was prime time. And thank God they didn't actually, because if they had, I probably would have been scared to death and thought, oh my gosh, I do not want to, you know, I'm going to feel the pressure. But I was just naturally me and did what they told me to do and asked the questions that they answered and let them feel me and just was who I was. So, you know, it worked. Thank goodness it did.
Let's stick with Instagram for a minute, because I find it an incredibly interesting platform. It's very, very fast moving as well. I mean, clearly the difference from when you started on it compared to now, when you first started working on it, it would have been pretty much photo only or image only. Now it's like really, really, really video focused. Have you sort of found that to be more of a hassle for you in terms of creating content?
Or, oh my gosh.
You know, you've got a bit of a team in place helping you with those things now?
Yeah. I mean, the speed at which Instagram changes is amazing. I think the speed at which social media changes is amazing, isn't it? You know, every day there's something new that we should be doing, or, you know, what works, what doesn't. Is it reels? Is it videos? Is it short stories? Is it Instagram TV? Is it YouTube?
Yep.
And what platform should we be using? What works the best? Is it TikTok? Is it Instagram? Is it Snapchat? Is it, oh my gosh, it's just so much. So it is really hard to keep up. But I think I organically started just doing what I knew to be right, or what I thought I was comfortable with, which was just coming up, talking about organizing, talking about decluttering. And at first I didn't want to show my face. I was really nervous. And then someone was like, just do it, Dilly. What are you worried about? And I was like, oh, okay. And then I sort of started talking to camera a little bit and then got, you know, better at it and just forgot that the camera was even there and then just carried on talking and that worked for me. And, you know, suddenly I started seeing my followers growing and it, you know, got more and more. And then I'd show a little bit of what I did in a day and, you know, the music I liked and all of those things. And then I realized that actually people are quite interested in my life too. So let's not just talk about organizing. Let's talk about what's going on in my day-to-day life.
Sure.
Married to, you know, what I want, who I've got in my life and where I go and have my coffee. And you know, and people are like, actually, you know, all the best Instagram accounts show a lot more of who that people are. So I realized that actually this could be more of a lifestyle account rather than just organizing. And sometimes what you notice is sometimes with the accounts that are just one thing, people can switch off. So you'll notice that now all of those accounts, whatever accounts you follow, they normally include a lot of different things, don't they? It's not just cars. You'll see people in all sorts of different situations with their cars.
It always comes down to a decision that the content creator needs to make pretty early on. I mean, we can always pivot and change. And I always tell all my clients that, you know, you're not a tree, right? You don't have roots. You can move around and go into a slightly different direction if you want to. But definitely the strategy for us, anyway, when I say for us, I mean for me personally, Instagram is where it's the only place where you'll get to see the behind the scenes of the business, of the events, of the life, so to speak. Whereas anywhere else online, it's, you know, very, very strategic. So this podcast, for example, or YouTube, or our email list, or our websites, all very focused on ultimately funneling people through our ecosystem so that they end up buying whatever products or services or offers they believe will help them at that given time in their journey. But yeah, the behind the scenes stuff is the stuff that really works better than anything else, I think.
Especially in my industry. And, you know, I'm selling a personal service. I'm selling the fact that you are buying me. So I have to sell myself, don't I? I have to sell what I'm about, my values, my morals, who I am as a person, how I come across. All of those things are really important because people are buying a service that means that they're going to have me in their personal space. So if they don't like me, they're not going to buy my services. So it's very important that they see all of me so that they get a 360 degree understanding of who I am and who they are employed. So it's basically Instagram is your CV, isn't it? It's showing everybody who you are and what you're about. So if they don't believe your CV, they're not going to buy into your products and buy your services. So it's very important that they see the real you. And I think, as you will know, as with anyone with any type of social media presence or anyone with an Instagram account, Facebook, whatever it is, anyone with a business, you know, you can't fake it for long because you suddenly get found out. So if you want to pretend that you're this lovely, shiny character and this is everything that you're about and this is your values and this is who you are, and actually you're not, you're a really miserable, horrible person and you're not very kind to people and you're willing to wait. And soon it's going to come out, isn't it?
Yeah, people's BS antennas are way more... way more sensitive nowadays than what they were 10 years or so ago. I mean, we met at a event that we were both speaking on stage at.
Yes.
And how much of a role has public speaking played for you in, you know, the ongoing growth of your personal brand?
Not enough, actually. I think it's only starting to grow now. The more people are realizing that actually she talks sense and she lots to talk about. And she really knows her stuff. And I think, you know, you were saying, in fact, weren't you, you know, what makes you an expert? You asked that question in your talk, didn't you? Anyone that's been doing it for 3-4 years, wasn't it? Or was it 5 years plus?
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, you could be, you know, you could be doing something for a couple of years. And if you're putting an hour a day towards that craft, let's randomly say wood carving, right?
Yeah.
Within a couple of years, you've got a lot of hours under your belt. If I want to learn how to get started with wood carving, you're an expert to me. You
of
know
course.
What I don't. Therefore, I'll hire you to teach me how to do it, right? So 2 years, 10 years, it's all irrelevant, really, because ultimately our jobs as experts, leaders, you know, influencers, whatever you want to call it, like our job is to ultimately attract people that were us 3 to 5 years ago. That's what I tell all my clients. So your dream client is exactly who you were 3 to 5 years ago, ultimately. And that's, you know, that's what we should all be doing. So it's one of those things, I think, where, yeah, and by the way, you were great on stage as well. Like, I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a fireside chat. You weren't doing a full-on presentation per se, but everything came out of your mouth with a level of professionalism and knowledge and with that kind of like next door neighbor friendly approach, which I think everyone in the audience lapped up as well. So clearly you know what the hell you're talking about. You can clearly hold your own on stage. Why do you feel you've not been on stage more over the last couple of years? Because I'm assuming you do get a whole bunch of invites. You're just not doing every one.
I don't get loads. I don't think I market the fact that it's something that I do, number one.
All right.
I don't tell people that I do public speaking as much. It's not something that I advertise as much. When I do them, I remind people that it's what I do. but I don't think it's something I advertise enough. And actually, if I'm really honest with myself, as confident as I am, I don't think I'm the most confident public speaker. So
sure.
Whereas people would always say, oh my God, you're a natural. You're great on TV. You're great on, you're great at, you know, your talk that you did was brilliant. I know I can be engaging. I know that I can command a room in certain ways, but I still have that little, you know, there's always that 10% that I think, oh, am I talking absolute nonsense? Is anyone switching off? Is anyone going to be listening to me? Do they care what I'm saying? Do they care who I am? Do I earn my right to be here? Mm. And I think everyone has that bit of self-confidence. So therefore, I don't scream about it enough because sure. I think, have I earned my place in this room? And have I earned my place at this table? And it's taken me a long time to, you know, right at the beginning of this podcast, I said to you, I am the UK's leading professional organiser because I do believe I am. Now, there'll be other organisers that go, of course you're not, or you are, you think you are. And I think, well, no, actually, I have earned my right. I've been doing it for so long. I know it inside out. And also, I'm doing so many other things that other people aren't doing. I've sure. created courses. I'm creating employment. I'm, you know, I'm helping hundreds of thousands of people every day, you know, through my Instagram account, through TV, millions of people. I'm inspiring lots of people. So therefore, I am the leader in my field.
You
surely.
Absolutely are. Absolutely you are.
So yeah. it's that whole imposter syndrome, isn't it? It's that whole thinking, am I really good enough to be here? I know I am, but am I able to stand on this stage and tell you all how to do things? Yes, I can.
Yeah.
I need to have more self-belief in myself because if I did more talks, I'd earn a lot more money. But yeah, I just don't do them because I think the thing is as well with me, I've got other avenue streams. So I'm not hungry for things. And I think
if
public speaking was my only job, I would be, you know, out there promoting it all the time. But I've got lots of different revenue streams. So I think I don't focus on it as much as I need to because it's just an additional extra. It's not what my bread and butter day job is.
I'm with you 100%. I mean, one of the things that we talk about a lot on this show and within kind of the youpreneur universe, yes, I've just called it a universe. So, you know, one of the things I talk about a lot is our three-step framework of build, market, monetize. So you build a personal brand, you market the personal brand, and then you can monetize the personal brand. You talked about having all these different revenue streams that come your way. Can you break that down a little bit for those tuning in who may be at the, you know, slightly beginning or the intermediate version of where you are right now, a lot more established, a lot more going on? What are some of those revenue streams like now?
So number one would be my day-to-day job, which is Declutter Dollies, which is, you know, home organization service. Yep. So I send people out to organize your house. Now, I also go out and organize your house. So that's one revenue stream is that I'm going out to people's houses physically and organizing their houses.
Yep.
The second is I have a team of girls who go out and organize other people's houses and everyone else doing the same as I do, but they're going out. Now, obviously, my income from them is not only the income we earn, it's obviously, you know, I charge them out for more than I pay them. So sure. that's my revenue as well. So that's
right. So to clarify then, if you go out on a job, obviously you're going to charge more for you physically being there.
Absolutely.
If it's not you, it's your team. And that's the scalable part of the business because obviously you get a certain chunk of whatever they charge for doing that work as well. Underneath, obviously, your tutelage and mentorship and supervision and whatnot. So there's the scalability side of it right there. I get that, which is great. Okay, cool. What else?
I also have brand work. So I earn money from brands, people that sponsor me, you know, to do adverts, to do all of that. So that's, you know, I have lots of different brands that I work for on a monthly.
Is that mostly like social media stuff or do you do things in the regular press as well?
Yeah, it's sometimes press stuff, but mainly social media. So people using your platform to advertise their brand. Yeah. So I earn money from brand work. I earn money from my books that obviously sell. And what else do I earn? And that's it actually at the moment. They're the things that I earn money from. And
you said that you got a course coming up as well at some point.
Oh my God. they're my biggest income.
Maybe the course is not making as much money as you want it to.
God, they are my second biggest income as well. Gosh, how did I forget that? See, this is why I'm terrible. This is, as you'll learn, I'm not actually that great at finance. I've got an E in maths twice, and I always say that's why, because I'm not very good at actually what I earn from what. I've got no idea.
I dare to think, genuinely, and I think we joked about this when we were hanging out together, I dare to think where I would be as an entrepreneur without my wife running the back end of the business.
I have a PA.
Like, rock star.
Oh, I know. I need someone else. And I have a PA who's very good. She has my spreadsheet. She's that side of the business. So I have to go, okay, how much do I earn from that? So yes, one of the biggest and actually I think my most proudest achievement is the courses that I've created, because there is no one in this country doing what I'm doing. So I created a course that no one else has done. It's a 12-week course and it teaches people how to become a professional organizer, and it is an accredited course. So that's the difference. Accredited. So people get an accreditation with that course, which I pay for yearly to keep up. So everyone gets a proper accreditation. There are other courses in this country that are 4 hours on a Saturday, 2 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever. Nothing as long as mine, nothing as intense as mine. So I do a 12-week course.
How do you sell that?
Now that I sell that through my Instagram. That's the only way I sell it, is through my Instagram. And
Line
up, and it sells out every time. I do it twice a year. I do it at the beginning of the year and at the end of the year, and people sign up and they do it, and there's only 20 spaces both times. There's a huge potential, obviously. I could have 100 people, I could have 200 people, I could have whatever I wanted. But what I like to do is be able to manage those people, because I meet them, I do work experience with them. So I don't want to have too many, because obviously then it's new, the quality of it is not as good. So 20 people twice a year, that's the course. I have now introduced doing boot camps, which are one-day courses, which means that people can learn how to organize their own house in one day. So that's...
Is this online or do you do this in person?
In person. So people come to an office which is near me and I teach them in person for 6 hours. Now, this is, as we said at the beginning of the conversation, where I need to scale my business. So my next goal is to make my courses online available to everybody.
Yeah.
Learn how to do all sorts of aspects of organizing online.
Yeah, I mean, everything from the, and let me put my coach hat on for a minute. Like, everything that you've said screams to me, I love the fact that it's certification that they get at the end of it and everything. Like, there's no reason why you can't do that online. There's just no reason why at all. I think it's awesome that you do stuff in person and that you do keep things small and intimate.
The 12-week course is online.
Okay. All right. But the certified thing for people who want to become an actual certified organizer.
That's online.
Right. Okay. So the boot camp is the in-person stuff. So, like, is that something that you feel you could be doing like multiple times every year?
Oh my gosh, I should be doing it. I could do it once a month if I wanted to. But
what
to also remember is that, it's, and this is a tough thing, isn't it? This is where most business coaches like yourself would go, why are you not doing this once a month? You could earn 40 grand once a month. What are you doing? Why are you not doing that? Why are you only doing it twice a year? But, I'm always like, yeah, but you're just going to infiltrate the market with all these organized, and actually I'd rather it be a sellout course twice a year than thinking, oh, I'm scraping for people six times a year. And it also makes it more exclusive. It makes people want you more. They want the product because they can't get it. They have to now wait. So, normally I have a good few hundred people waiting on my waiting list for the next course.
Yeah. No, I think less is more.
Yeah. And then it makes it better, makes people want it. And also it keeps me control over those people. And what we have to remember as well is I am also creating my own competition.
Yeah.
Every time
you certify somebody, right?
Every time I train someone, I am creating my own competition against my own team. So, when I'm, or as much as I'm telling everyone my insider secrets, I'm also teaching them how to be better than me. But what I have to remember is there is no one better than me, as in terms of there is no one, there will be better people than me, but they're not going to be me. And, that's anyone with their own brand. You are you, and that's what makes you special. So I that's what I have to think about. But I don't do it every month is because I don't want to overcompensate.
You get to the point of populating too many people in any industry, it will end up to come back to bite you on the butt at some point, won't it? Right. Yeah, sure. You'll continue to be, the go-to person, that one expert that everybody turns to over and over and over again. But ultimately, long term, it will affect your bottom line because there'll be more people out there snapping up that work here and there. And it just will be what it'll be. And we should say also, because this is The people who listen to this show, Dilly, are not just in the UK. Like 65% of our listeners are in the United States. So I think a lot of listeners are probably saying, oh, no, just go and do it. No, it's not like that here in the UK. It's a very small territory compared to the United States. And you do need to try control the flow of competition into any marketplace, particularly when you're already top dog, quite frankly.
Yes.
Okay, I've got a couple of more questions before we wrap up. So the first one being, when it comes to the ongoing scalability of the business, and particularly let's talk about Decluttered Dollies a little bit. How many people do you have working in that business real quick?
So I have probably, I think, 6 girls that work for me all the time.
Okay. And they're like full-time employees.
They sort of, well, they're self-employed, but they generally, most of them work 2 to 3 times a week.
I gotcha. Okay. I gotcha. And so when it comes to the scalability of that part of your personal brand, that business itself, what are some of the challenges that you face in that regards in terms of growing that business? Because 6 people is it's a good size team, but it's not, I mean, you could get more for sure.
Yeah.
And go and broader afield.
Yeah, it's just I've got a team of those that are in my intermediate, like my intimate team, as it were.
Yeah.
That, you know, if you do a job, there's normally 4 of us that go out on a job, and that's per day. Now, if I was smarter, I could probably, you know, sometimes we could do a job with 2 people that would take 2 weeks, you know, rather than sending 4 people for 1 day, 2 days.
I got you.
So a lot of organizers, the difference between my team and most other organizers out there is that they will take 1 job and do it for over 2 weeks. Whereas my whole brand ethos is that we come in, we blitz it, we go.
Yeah.
You know, so you're paying for the value of the service that it's getting turned around much quicker because
and the speed, absolutely. In the middle of COVID, we had one of those garden rooms put onto our property here for a gym. And I was astounded. And I remember when I signed the contract, I moaned about it being so expensive. It was about 30 grand. And I was like, 30 grand, it's basically just a shed with lights. You know, like, what's that about kind of thing? And they rocked up on a Monday afternoon after lunch, put the foundations down, came back 48 hours later on Wednesday afternoon when everything had set, built the entire thing, including the roof by the end of that day, came back on the Thursday, did all of the electrics, put the flooring down, all the sexy little bits and pieces inside, all the details, done, finished. I was like, that's what I paid for.
Exactly.
Paid for that. I didn't pay for the thing. I paid for the thing to be created within a matter of hours. You know, that was it. Yeah.
And that's what I sell is the value of the service. What we're doing in 6 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours is what you haven't done in 8 years. That is the value. We are turning it around in a very short amount of time. So that is why pay for a team to come in rather than one person that's going to drag it out, not drag it out, but, you know, do it over a much longer period of time.
Well, I think people want instant results anyway, don't they? They want that before and after, right?
Exactly. And we're interrupting your lives. So you want that as minimal as possible. You don't want that chaos for too long because, you know, it's quite intense as well. People coming in and pulling your house apart and putting it all back together. It's a lot. And then, you know, you're there making decisions. Yes, no, maybe, I don't know. Do I want it? Don't I want it?
Well, it's stressful.
It's really stressful. It's really overwhelming and it's hard work. So, you know, you really want us in and out of your house very quickly. You don't want us in there for weeks on end if you can help it.
No.
So that's the service that I'm constantly selling is, look, you know, we're in, we're out. Your life's been changed and it really does. So that's what we do. And that's why I sell it in that way. So,
I get it.
More people, but then you also lose the quality of the service. I think that, you know, the more people you have, the more I've got control. And also, I like to make sure that you have my elite team all the time and that I'm not having to get people in that don't work for me all the time. Or might be other organizers that I don't work with all the time, because the great thing about also who I train is that some people pay, another avenue stream I've got is that once people have trained with me, they pay a membership fee to be on my website and for me to advertise their services through my website. So if all my girls are busy and my work's busy, then I will put out a job that I can't do to them. So they have that. You know, so I will then say, these are accredited organizers trained by me. These are people I trust. I will send them to you.
Yep,
and if I need them, I'll say, do you want to come jump on a job with me? So, you know, that's how that works as well.
Yep.
But that avenue stream is something that another thing I forgot about that I earn. So they've trained with me.
You know, it's interesting. You're very much like a lot of people I come across when it comes to the money side of things. you know, okay. in the entrepreneurial space, very creative, get up and go, lots of action taking, know they're yeah. making good money, know they're having, you know, great impact with the people that they work with, but actually don't really know where the money's coming from a yeah. lot of the time. Yeah. And, you know, I always say like the numbers never lie. And, you know, as entrepreneurs, I think it's very, very tough to find the balance, particularly creative entrepreneurs. It's very, very hard to find the balance between being exactly that and knowing your numbers, you know, relatively intimately. But I mean, certainly revenue streams is something that seems to me like it's probably something you can double down on a little bit in terms of knowing what connects to what and how you can kind of filter people through the different mm-hmm. parts of your ecosystem, right? And what you do
Absolutely.
And how you do it. You know, it's an interesting setup. Okay, so I got one last fun question for you. I ask this of everybody that comes on the show, and that is that if we fast forward 12 months from now and I'm sitting down having a cup of tea with Dilly, what's one thing that you would have ticked off your bucket list, personal or business?
Personal or business?
Yeah. One thing you really want to get done.
What do I want to get done? Business is, I think, everything speaking to each other.
Okay. So getting the ecosystem working well together.
Yeah. So that's why I've started with my website, because I want that to then feed into everything so everyone yep. can find things, buy things easily.
Yep.
And, you know, create that shop front, as it were, because at the moment, nothing really speaks to anything very well. So, and I think personally, I think it's just, you know, for my health to be okay still. I think nothing else is possible without good health, is it? So I think personally, I'd, you know, like to go another year cancer-free and just be in a place where I can enjoy the fruits of my labor, because it's all very well creating these systems. It's all very well creating this lovely business. But if I'm not well enough to enjoy it, then nothing else matters. So
100%.
I think my health is always going to be my priority now, in terms of my business is great, but as long as I'm well, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Well, look, thank you so much for taking some time. I know you've got a very busy schedule. Appreciate you being with us. For you guys tuning in, if you want to find out a little bit more about Dilly and the Dollies and everything else, you've got to be careful how quickly you say those two words next to each other, actually. But yeah, if you want to find out a little bit more about Dilly and everything she does, we're going to have links to everything, including her IG, which is great, over on the show notes. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Dilly, thank you again for being with me.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And now it's time for Chris's Coaching Corner, where we hear his thoughts and suggestions to help his guest go further, faster.
So clearly you can see that Dilly has got so, so much going for her. But as I pointed out in the show, her numbers are not as clear to her as they probably should be. And quite frankly, this is not a Dilly problem. This is just a solopreneur / entrepreneur problem. We all have problems knowing exactly where the money's coming from in one way, shape, or form at some time in our journeys. Here's the big thing, though, and this is the thing that scares me the most. Dilly's platform is ultimately being built up on things that she doesn't control. Now, you often know that I say here on the show that we shouldn't be building our home on rented land, and that is, to a certain degree, what she has done. She's utilized the power of Instagram and other social media platforms, as well as obviously her television appearances and other appearances within the media, that has ultimately meant that she's built this incredible, powerful personal brand. But she doesn't have a website that's truly showcasing everything that she does, although that is coming, as she alluded to at the end of our discussion. Not only that, but obviously we want to make sure that her courses are available, her live events, which are great live, but they should also come online as well, so she can sell them far and wide and not just be focused 100% on the UK. You know, a professional organizer should be able to help people from all around the world, from all walks of lives, in any language, right? So I think she's got some really, really important stuff to look at here when that new website goes live. Is it showcasing the fact that she speaks on a regular basis? Is it showcasing the fact that, yes, she's on television and she's got best-selling books and all that good stuff? But what about the stuff that can really make a difference? And that is her courses and everything that she does from a live event or live appearance perspective as well. If I'm working with Dilly now, what I'm getting her to do is to really double down on getting people off those platforms that she doesn't control and onto platforms that she does control, namely her website first and foremost, and then as a direct result of that, her email list, which I'm pretty sure is relatively minimal at this point. By doing that, what happens is that she takes back all that control that she's losing by ultimately building her personal brand on other people's platforms, again, platforms she has no control over in any way, shape, or form, and bringing them onto platforms that she can control, that she can not only control the narrative, but also that she can then go ahead and make sure that they're maximized in terms of her product and offer ecosystem. So excited for Dilly. There's so much in the future for her. I just hope that she gets people onto that website and onto her email list rather than relying on outside sources to continue to build her brand up even further. If you enjoyed this episode of the show, I'd love for you to go ahead and rate and review it on whatever platform you're listening in on. And we'll be back at you again with another episode real soon. Until then, take good care.
Thank you for tuning in to Viewpreneur FM. Why not head over to our official website at youpreneur.com to access all our tools and resources essential to building, marketing, and monetizing a future-proof business based around your expertise. We'll see you next time.